Van Loo helped runaway slaves and black servants on her staff, like butler William Sewell and his family, make their way north. African Americans who remained in Richmond became key conduits for her aid to Union prisoners. Blacks who scrubbed jail floors carried messages. Robert Ford, a northern free black who had served as a teamster in the Union Army's quartermaster department before Confederates in the Shenandoah Valley captured him, worked as a hostler for the commandant at Libby Prison. Ford also helped Libby prisoners escape. Nearly every Sunday, Van Loo, dressed in the rough cotton clothes of a farm woman so as not to be noticed scouting prisons, walked by Libby and signaled prisoners watching from windows with an empty pitcher she held, or a careless lifting of a handkerchief to her lips. Blacks working inside the prison alerted inmates to the ritual. Van Loo also posted black servants near Libby to help the ones escaping reach her house or the homes of others willing to harbor them until they made their way north. At Church Hill, an old washstand blocked the view of a door to the large attic in her mansion, where Van Loo hid escapees in a secret chamber blocked off by a box and panel. Her niece Annie recalled tiptoeing quietly behind Van Loo one evening as she took a plate of food up the steps to the attic, and seeing a man's head pop out from the chamber entrance when Van Loo moved the box and panel to serve him his meal. Nosy neighbors soon noticed strange men peeping around columns at the mansion late at night. Rumors were whispered that she had hidden rooms in her house for Yankee prisoners, even wilder stories that she had a tunnel from her garden to Libby Prison. Despite several searches, Winder's detectives never discovered Van Loo's secret room in her attic, but neighbors remained convinced she was hiding men. Local ladies asked Elizabeth and her mother to make shifts for South Carolina troops encamped at Richmond's old fairgrounds. They were aghast when mother and daughter refused. The rumors and grumbling soon made their way into Richmond's rapidly pro-Confederate newspapers. On July 31, 1861, a fortnight after Van Loo had begun delivering supplies to Union prisoners, a threatening paragraph appeared in the Richmond Daily Dispatch. Elizabeth and her mother weren't named, but dispatch readers could easily guess. The paper warned that females of Southern residence and perhaps birth, but of decidedly Northern and abolition proclivities, should halt their pro-Union activities while they can if they do not wish to be exposed and dealt with as alien enemies. Other newspapers carried similar threats.